The great one, El Rey de los Timbales, right out of Spanish Harlem, Tito Puente with Toma Cinco, a jazz standard that was made famous by Dave Brubeck in 1959. Tito Puente died on May the 12th, 2000, of a massive heart attack. He was 77 years old. His youngest son, Tito Puente Jr., continues his father's legacy. Tito Puente was awarded posthumously the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2003. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm in the eye of a storm. Not a political one, but a real one. As we brace ourselves in Florida and on the East Coast, we have about three other states that are joining us in getting people ready for an emergency and taking emergency measures of evacuation already. Matthew, Hurricane Matthew, is now upgraded to a Category 4 storm with winds of 125 miles and counting per hour. And it's headed right here for the East Coast. It is expected to hit Florida later today in full, but already, you know, the trees are swaying, and it's not the happy tropical scene that you would think it is. It's not pretty. And people have boarded up their homes and whatnot, and in low-lying areas, they have been evacuated, and the governor has been very, very adamant about evacuation, because in previous storms, people did not evacuate as advised and came to great harm, and it was very difficult. So Matthew is shaping up to be something of a doozy of a storm, a hurricane, as a matter of fact, and we're all bracing. So far, we have electricity still. So I'm good. And I do have sardines and tuna, so I'm good. My emergency rations, if I have to get to them, are there. So I'm good so far. We just have to get through today and possibly tomorrow at some point. This storm is supposed to move up the coast and visit with other states, including Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. Already, Matthew has taken a toll on the Dominican Republic, on Haiti, and the Bahamas, and where next? But in the meantime, some good news, and that is we continue our broadcast until, until further notice. Well, we continue our discussion, which began yesterday, that was predicated on the idea that this stinker of an election year should be a year of reckoning about the political system. Growing dissatisfaction with it over the years has given rise, as you know, to a spate of popular movements and new parties, but very few of them achieving critical mass or the political heft that is needed to beat the system at its own game. This election year, I suggested yesterday, requires that people do massive overhauling. These movements, these parties, independent parties, it's time to reorganize, to retool, to really re-examine your strategy. And it is necessary because if you're going to be relevant, if you're going to be a credible alternative to the two-party system, you can't keep doing what you've been doing because you'll keep getting what you've been getting. It's time to retool, big time. Retool and figure out what's next. In my view, as I kind of raised the possibility yesterday about whether we should proceed with the formation of new parties or whether we should proceed with a very different approach, which is to form parallel or shadow governments. This does not mean that you have to choose one or the other. But it seems to me that if we do something very radical, very different, we will get a kind of 1-2 punch in terms of having alternatives available to us when voting time comes. This is an awful, awful year. But if you study politics, you see how logical it is. It is going according to plan. I mean, every year, the caliber of candidates just keeps getting lower and lower and lower, which means that the system itself is burning out. It is being defeated by its own dedication to corruption, to a kind of malaise and contempt for the electorate, for with it's caving in on itself. It hasn't really advanced anything new, and the performance in office, especially at the national level, and at the local and state levels too, their performance as parties leaves so much to be desired. But now we have a pervasive philosophy and practice of absolute in-your-face corruption. And almost as if they're daring you to do something about it, knowing that they control most every apparatus within the political realm to frustrate and stymie the growth of independent parties that could challenge it. So that does not mean, on the other hand, that that is to be accepted. And the question I was raising yesterday was, why are we going along with the program? Why have we not come up with some new thing, some new way of carving a different path through this morass that we've had to deal with as a nation, and particularly as people who have a desire for something far more elevating and something far more constructive than what we have now. The system is irredeemable. It cannot be fixed, and we have to accept that. So the question is, if you recognize that the system cannot be fixed, it is irredeemable, it does not suit the purposes of the people, then why are we playing into their game? Why are we part of that machinery, that political machinery? Why do we continue on the path that is so predictable? We will not, using the strategies that we have now, we will not achieve much because they hold the cards. So what is the alternative plan? What do you think? We had so many callers yesterday, we did not have time to accommodate all of the callers that we had yesterday. So we continue that discussion today. Hopefully those people who did not get on the air yesterday will be able to do so today at 888-874-4888. Now, I'm saying these things, and I want to be very clear, not to castigate any effort that is currently afoot. But just the same, we have to be clear about where they are and why they are there in that position. why haven't they been able to cross, let's say, the Green Party? Why hasn't it been able to move beyond that 3% of the national vote? And they've been around for a long time. Do we get stuck with the idea that we try and try and try and try? Meanwhile, decades will pass before we reach a point where they have overcome that barrier. And we are clear. Any movement, any party that presents a threat to the system, all kinds of things will be put in their way, all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of sabotage will be put in their way to prevent them from arriving at a point of critical mass. We understand that. But just the same, we've got to have a different approach, both in organization and in strategy and tactics. This is the time to do it. 888-874-4888 from South Carolina. Khalil, you start us off today. Thank you.
Hi, Eutrice. I hope all is well.
Well, me too.
Yeah, well, I'm in the
I hope all will be well with you later on because you're on the hurricanes map.
That is true, but I'm in the hills, and I think we're in a good. Well, who knows? The weather's crazy, but I'm about to fire up the grill, so it'll all be all right.
good move.
But you know, I am really motivated. I have you. You know, we're on the same thought path right now, and you used a term that I was going to bring up, critical mass. You know, in social sciences, that's a big deal when you have a critical mass. See, now, I'm voting for a placeholder this time, but we have to seize upon the time. This, you know, we just look at, take the politics out. Well, you can't totally take the politics out, but take the emotion out. This was the year of the perceived outsider. You know, Bernie had a lot of motivated people buying him, and the other guy did also and still does. But this is why we have to seize a critical mass. And a lot of times I call in and I'm complaining, but I think I have what I'm envisioning as a solution. Coalitions are powerful. Now, I think we should take what's left of the Occupy movement, Black Lives Matter, and some of the Green Party, and we need to build a coalition and use the system to fix the system. In other words, work within the system to right the ship. Right, because, you know, look at this. Look what we have to choose from. You know, this is ridiculous. This is like a comic book. You know, there's not a good choice. And the only reason I'm really voting and I'm voting the way I am, I'm concerned about the Supreme Court, because if you get caught up in the criminal justice system, they don't care what party you're in.
Yeah, but I told you, don't worry about the Supreme Court. Worry about what's going on in the lower courts. The Supreme Court, in an average year, would handle less than 0.1% of all the cases tried in the United States. And by then, those cases would have gone through a labyrinth that takes so much time before they get to the U.S. Supreme Court, except, of course, when a person is about to be executed and they need a decision right away. But the Supreme Court and this thing that they're dangling over our heads, oh, my God, what's going to happen at the Supreme Court? I'm not that concerned about it. From the statistical point of view, I don't see that is something that is high on the list. What's higher on the list, much higher, is the genocide that is being committed in the lower courts, in housing court, criminal court, state supreme courts. That's where the problems are. The problems of judicial misconduct, prosecutorial misconduct, police misconduct. That is producing this massive population of prisoners in the United States, which is the largest in the world. So I train my eyes instead on what's going on in the lower courts. That's the issue. What's going on in the lower courts? But let's get back to this question. Mm-hmm. You were on the path of saying, how do we arrive at a point of critical mass? Okay. And your suggestion is coalition building among those movements and parties that are in a way already heading in that direction.
Right.
And how do you envision, even if this were accomplished, how do you envision that they would succeed against a system? What other mechanisms, other than the coalitions themselves, because they will still be operating outside of the system, right? When you said that they can work within the system, how do you envision outsiders working within the system achieving the goals that you had identified?
Precisely what you just mentioned. If we've not learned anything in the past 8 years, or maybe let's say 12 years, if the Tea Party, they're very evil, but they're very pragmatic. Okay, they worked with outside money, of course. They had outside money, but they worked from the bottom up. So once we can get the common ground, see, there's a lot of common ground between those three groups that I mentioned, plus more people who are just outliers. So we get the message out. Then we get people in city councils. We get people in the school boards. We get people in the state houses, right? And then we have people who have political power, who are publicly affiliated with these groups on our side. You see, then they have to address our needs.
Okay, sounds good so far. Now let me ask you, if you envision this as a workable plan, what is the timeline you think for this plan to develop to the point where it can be enacted just as you envisioned?
I see 3 years, because we have the critical mass now. See, the Tea Party folks and that radical part of that radical right, they overlap with a lot of issues that we agree with in some ways. Now, we can take the rational folks from everywhere, you know, rational folks from everywhere. I'm really seeing it, because people are fed up. There's a lot of younger people. I'm a middle-aged person, but I have a lot of younger friends, and I have a lot of younger friends who are in their 30s, or they're probably in early 40s now, but many who they stopped voting mid-20s because they, you know, they were like, look, this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So we have to tap this potential. There's an action potential out there. And for instance, like now we're getting started. We have gotten started a Citizens Police Advisory Board here. I'm on the committee where I live. These people operate with no oversight. They're just used to doing whatever they want to do. And I don't play that. No, I'm not doing that. I've been a victim of police corruption. I'm not playing that. And people, a lot of these young people, they're learning. They don't understand how to build coalitions, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. That's why I'm saying you use the system to change the system. You just can't come from outside. You got to work within. That's what I'm saying. The school boards and city councils, et cetera, things like that. And the zoning boards, zoning boards have a lot of power. They can control what kind of businesses you want where, and that's where the money is. But I don't know if I'm answering your question, but that's
yes, you are. You're very much answering the question, because essentially what you're saying, I mean, and using the example that you offered today, you're forming your own government or your own system of governance. And that is important. That is exactly what I'm talking about. You are a shadow government if you work this right. When you take on the power to police your community and to make those people who are paid to do so accountable, you are in fact performing the responsibility and duties of a government. So when we do this and we multiply this all over the country, you have little governments all over the place.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
all
it.
Right, then.
That's the spark. And you sound great and you sound strong, and I'm not going to bring up anything else. Okay.
All right. Happy barbecue and watch the weather.
Thanks.
All right. From New Jersey, CC, you're on the air. What are your thoughts?
Utrecht, you are hotter than the 4th of July today. I mean, you're always hot. I got to say, you're always hot. What came to me today, Utrecht, is that you are the agent of change through lead stories, and we, the listeners, are the change agents.
And this is the how movement. About that?
Huh?
I like that.
Huh?
That's kind of
you
cool.
You like it? It is cool. And it, you know, I just came and I said, whoa, this is it. Okay? The movement has begun. And it has begun because you started the question. You're asking the questions, how do we? And, you know, you were expressing the frustration of, you know, the process. What do we look at where we are? Now, as far as I'm concerned, you know, being a student of metaphysics and a few other things, what's happening is unfortunately what we deserve based on our inaction. And what they're doing, the force, or we could say the one percenters or the controllers or whatever, whoever, they're doing all that they can do, and it's actually what we allow them to do by being spectators versus being involvement or protesters. So this process that you're taking on is really what we're needing. And of course, I say once in a while when I get on, is that we need to show our agents of change positions by one expanding the listenership of lead stories. And I mentioned it to my brother 2 days ago, and I said, there's a show I want you may know of this person who has been broadcasting for, and a journalist, and bring in ideas that are so timely. And I said, her name is Utrecht Leeds. She says, oh, Utrecht Leeds, yes. So I've got to work with him a little bit. He's retired. He's available. So it's each one reach one, one by one, one by one. And the gentleman who just got off gave an excellent timeline. He said 3 years. So, you know, looking at what's going on, if we look at the Green Party, they're sub-basement right now. They're not even ground floor. But look what Bernie did in X amount of months. And people that got into his movement didn't even know who he was. The millennials, many of them did not know, but they learned. So if we say it takes, we're going toward the Green Party or going toward or creating one, if we look at 2 years, and now Ralph Nader helped us out with his latest book. And the subtitle, it talks about, you know, retaining power, and the subtitle is, "It's Easier Than You Think." So he created a manual. I went to see him at Barnes & Noble, Union Square, and got a few copies. So the thing is that it's each one reach one. We really got to get out there. And I'm going to take a page, and I think we should also, I got to take a page from Brother Lloyd Strayhorn, who I've been following. And if we look at the cycle we're in, it's 2016. 2 and 16 is 19. 19, 1 plus 9, excuse me, 2016 is 18. And 1 plus 8 is 9. 9 is endings. We're ending a 9-year reign, which is going to be in January 19, which will be the beginning of a 9-year reign. So this is the perfect time. All we see between the two parties is really, you know, they say, if you point the finger, 3 point back at you. This is what we get. This is what we get by doing what we did not do or whatever we did do. So you're on it, Utrecht. You are really, really, really on it.
Let me ask if you can identify 3 concrete steps right now that would produce something, what would they be?
Okay, first step, I would say, personally, I've said this once before, is get with yourself in private what you really want to see happen, me, what I would really want to see happen. And I want it to be different. So I've decided that already. Now, the next thing I've got to do is begin to see who I'm going to, or how many people I can talk to next, and let them know about it. Okay, so that, you know, as they say in the Christian, when two or more are gathered, there I am. So get, let me get my two. Let me get my three. Let me get my little posse, whatever it is in a foxhole, 1 to 3 or whatever it is. And then we start. Now, we look at what's available. Now, on democracy, on the vice president, Ijeoma Baraka, was on in a situation where he was answering. So something is going on with the Green Party, and it's got a heartbeat, it's got a pulse. Now I name them because I'm leaning toward that. All right. So it's getting myself in the proper decision to allow this thing to happen. Now I'm allowing it to happen. I'm past step one, and next thing I got to do is start working, you know, the plan. So. And that's to tell people, wake the town and tell the people. You know, keep meeting the people. We have to get something moving. It's motion. Motion is the key. And so you're stimulating and motivating us. And I think, you know, that's it. It's really to, you know, and it's happening. And give ourselves the timeline. It's going to take, forget about, you know, 2016, not forget about it, but promote it up until that date, and then it changes, and now it's 2020, whoever that is. So we need to recognize that this show, this program, is made up of the agent of change, Eutrice Leeds, and we, the change agents. That's the bottom line. And recognize that it's motion. You know, 20%, what is it, 80% of promotion is motion. So we get the motion going, and it's there, and it starts in our psyche. It's a vibration, actually. It's a vibration. It's vibrational. So this time, I say this is the best of the times, because it's in our face. We can smell it. We can, you know, we hear it. We can see it. We can almost taste it. Some of us are tasting it, the downside of it, more so than the upside. But it's the greatest time, because we can change it, and you're part of that. And all that you've done with Charles Ortel, those phenomenal shows and programs, hey, you know what? Because of your work, we know what's going on, okay? They want, from Gary's show today, the party doesn't want Bernie. Of course they don't want Bernie. They don't want anybody but the ones that they have. And of course, as the author book was the Queen of Chaos, Hillary. And so I'm at the point, you know, I have to say, I've said it before, you know, and I hope somebody to talk me down on this, but if you can't beat them, join them, and then hopefully all the black people and all the people that she's given, and Latino people and this one and that one that she's given positions to, then we have to put the pressure on them. We have to have two teams of horses. One team is a team that's really going to be ready for 2016, and then there's the 2020, and then there's the team that's for 2016, and 2016 is looking like Hillary. Okay, unless something unusual happens. But at the same time, we've got to get our muscles in shape by putting the pressure on them, and then building something really worthwhile that will have life and have it abundantly for the majority of the people.
Well, thank you very much, Cece, for your treatise today. Thanks so much.
Thank you for your gift. Thank you so much. Well, and you are loved and liked and appreciated so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ed from New York. What have you to say about the quandary that we're in, and what could get us out of it?
Hi, Eutrice.
Hi.
I say we need a real party, a real third party. For the point of our conversation, let's call it the Progressive Party. And let's say it includes the coalition of Bernie supporters, the Green Party, everybody dissatisfied with the Democratic Party. It registers, it gets on the ballot in local elections in the next 3 years, and it puts up a candidate to run against the status quo in 4 years. And it's an actual third party rather than the Green Party, which you said at the outset. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. It will never get a majority of votes, neither will the Libertarian Party. What's needed is a party that can incorporate the movement that started like a tropical storm behind Bernie, that can be incorporated into the other existing parties that are out there.
Okay. I think that's a great analysis. But let me ask you, at one point, Jill Stein did say that she reached out to Bernie Sanders and basically was rebuffed when she advanced this idea of doing exactly what you suggest.
I'm not talking about Bernie Sanders being involved. I'm talking about the people that followed him in the movement that started. Get those people behind a third party. Bernie doesn't have to be the head of it. He started it. So somebody else can take that role that's more cooperative to work with and more integrating of whatever other like-minded people are out there. It's time to get organized.
Exactly. That was really what I was hinting at, that even among great minds, there is a suspicion about each other. There is this idea of, well, are you going to steal my thunder or am I going to steal your thunder? Can we actually get along? And it has stymied growth. What do you think would happen when it is left to people to come to this decision? How do they avoid these rifts?
There has to be an actual third party, whether it's called the Progressive Party or the Zoo Party. I don't care, but we've been talking about third parties in this country since John Anderson ran. And if it's not an actual threat to the status quo, as you said at the outset, it's just doing the same thing over and over again. It's a movement. Bernie ignited a movement of the youth in this country, and that's what needs to be harnessed.
Do you think, in the meantime, do you think there's any other tactic or strategy that could be employed to kind of boost your idea, to make it relatively successful, a successful outcome?
I don't see it. I mean, you're looking at, Chelsea Clinton in the year 2000 or the usual suspects. If it's not organized as an actual third party, I don't see it, as you said at the outset, having an impact or threatening what exists. And I think that's a pretty easy thing to do conceptually, to say, let's put all the fragment parts together and create a movement. But, you know, I'll use the example of Haiti. There were 10,000 NGOs in Haiti prior to the earthquake. Did any of them cooperate or coordinate with each other after the earthquake? No. That's why the country's in the shape it's in.
Thank you for your thoughts today, Ed, and for your contribution. New Jersey, Pam, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht.
Hello.
Hi. I love Jill Stein. I'm going to vote for her, and I watch a lot of her videos on YouTube on the Green Party presidential campaign, and she's anti-nuclear, you know, and anti-war, so I think she's great, and a lot of other great stuff. Green Party platform is fantastic. And I think there's some Congress people also running on the Green Party platform. And one of her videos said that there's something they can do in the voting system where if your first choice doesn't win, it could go to your second choice. So that would help the problem with, I'm not going to vote for Jill Stein because it's either Hillary or Trump, and I'd rather have Trump than Hillary or whatever. And then also for the shadow government, there's change.org. You can petition anything you want. You can make your own petition, sign a bunch of other petitions. And I think the petitions I've signed on Sierra Club is like a shadow government. So we start another group.
Pam, you do recognize a party's platform is just their thinking about what it is they'd like to change. something in concrete that they can absolutely deliver on. These are the major things that they see they would like to tackle. That's all a party platform is. It's not a legal document. It's not enforceable. It's just an articulation of how the party is thinking. Now, do you feel that the Green Party or any party, except, of course, the big two, I'm talking about as challenging the big two. Do you think any party has an infrastructure that could make these visions that they have actually come true? All the very ambitious plans and the really good ideas that are put down on paper where the party wishes to go. How does the Green Party as it exists now, or any party similar to the Green Party, with a pretty appealing platform, do they have the infrastructure to get any of this done?
I think if we get enough people to petition it, and also if Jill Stein did win for president, she says part of her platform, she'd lower 52% for military to like 25% for military.
Guess what? You're missing a clue there, and you just said it, and you missed it. If she wins, saying you have to become realistic at about 3% of the national vote. You're not going to win. People have to accept that. She will not win.
I don't know. Maybe petitions on change.org would help. To be anti-nuclear, anti-war, and Jill's platform is to close down all the nuclear plants by 2030 because they take a long time to close down.
Okay. I'm coming back to the question because I'm going back to the idea that this is a time of reckoning. And that means we have to be realistic about where we are. And where we are is that we have groups that are already formed, and they have been working diligently. They're working very hard at getting their priorities in play. But they haven't got the critical mass to get any of it done. Not right now. They don't.
Critical mass meaning we need a lot more people to join together?
Meaning that you have crossed a political threshold that actually allows people to know that you have clout and you have a structure that can protect your turf, that you are able to challenge the system because you have backup, serious political backup. You would have had, therefore, to win smaller political victories. We don't have that. And even if you were to win, and this, I'm going to use Bernie Sanders as an example here. Bernie Sanders won. He won in Vermont. But as the lone so-called democratic socialist, without other democratic socialists in the House, of course, he's for all intents and purposes a Democrat. And even so, he was not able and has not been able to advance all of these things that you hear him talking about that are so dear to him and that are so desperately important, really, to have enacted. The issue about free tuition and a healthcare system and a sensible living wage and so forth. These things he has not been able to get past because there is no infrastructure there. And he doesn't have critical mass. He does not have an overwhelming support that he can leverage in Congress to get done all these things that he wants to get done. Because it's not just about your ideas. That's great. Ideas they abound. The question is, you have to have an infrastructure that predictably can deliver the clout needed to get things done. We haven't arrived at that point with the other movements and parties. We just simply haven't.
Yeah, I'm going to start a petition on change.org to let third, fourth, fifth parties debate, presidential debate, and get coverage from the media and see what that happens. See just how many people would sign that petition.
Okay. What will that do in terms of, let's say, the immediate outcome? Or do you think that you're doing this for the future? Because right now it's a bit late.
The future, because they already did what they did. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that did happen for the good on change.org. People out of jail.
Well, I like the idea that you are understanding that this isn't a now-for-now thing, that you are looking toward the future, and that what you're about to do is for future change, realizing that it may not take hold right away.
And I know someone that's in jail in Idaho, Custer County Jail, that was shackled, handcuffed, and hooded, and was held, beat up, and then held down by 4 or 5 guards, and he was tased 6 times in a row, and the taser battery died on June 11th, 2016, and then June 13th, 2016, they tased him once or twice, I forget, on his lower spine.
But let me ask you, I don't want to interrupt or cut you off of that, but we want to train our thoughts on the question at hand. How do you see the possibility of getting the parties that have potential to just stop, take inventory, reorganize themselves, and come up with a different kind of plan? Pam?
What kind of plan?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of plan, but it looks like we need one, don't you think? If we've been basically going down the same road for several years now in a row, and we are not getting any farther, it must mean that we're not doing something that we ought to be doing. We probably are, the parties are probably, or movements are probably so fixated on the here and now. And this is not a criticism. This is how life works. When you are fighting a fire, I mean, you're not interested in where the water is coming from, okay? You're just interested in putting the fire out. So that's it. But we do have to show a certain level of political maturity in which, just like any other endeavor that is meant to succeed, you keep measuring whether you are succeeding, why you are succeeding in some things, and why you are not succeeding in other things. And you retool, because you can't have the same vision for 10 years or 20 years.
Yeah, and you can't, that's why we need a shadow government.
You have to massage this thing into different forms to see how else you can get to the finish line. And it very often involves retooling. Thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Desiree, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Desiree. How are you?
Hi, Yatrice. So I'm along the same lines in this thinking, and I'm ready to.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I didn't hear you at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm at work. Okay. I believe I'm ready to make those changes and make those changes personally. I'm pretty sure I've been doing that. But what do we do now as like a whole, like as a people? Like, do I do like our last caller, make a petition? Do I come get on Lead Stories and say, hey, everyone who wants to come up and start like brainstorming ideas, let's meet at Madison Square Park at this certain time? Like, I'm totally with this, and I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, shadow government could sound, well, I don't really care how it sounds, but it's very, very possible to do this. I mean, I've been to the Hasidic Jews have their own little quadrant in Brooklyn. They have their own schools. They have their own police. They even have their own shops. And I think if people...
And they have their own courts. They have rabbinical courts that, by the way, are recognized by the state.
Wow. That's inspiring. But to me, as a person, because I've been through that area, I never feel safe around that area. It's scary. But it's inspiring to everyone who's listening right now, because if they can do it, of course, I mean... If the United States is friends with that country as well, I can see why that they would be able to get as far in that way. But nonetheless, that should be inspiring to every listener that's out at listening to this right now. And
but let me ask you, how do you think, you bring a very interesting example up, how do you think a group of people, they're not part of the political process per se, mm-hmm. but they... fully in charge of all of the necessary or essential services in their community. How do you think that, and by the way, it's not been a wonderful story about the Hasidic Jews and their organization and their self-contained community. I wrote a 7-part series on that, which was a prize-winning series called Crown Heights, A Lull Before the Storm. And that was back in the late 70s. Because you could see it coming, that there was going to be a major crash between this insulated and isolated culture and the rest of the community. And it did happen. But here's the question. You have a group of citizens... Nobody's elected, and they have their own police force, they have their own police mechanism, they have their own schools, they have their own community development mechanisms funded by federal dollars, they're in charge of their housing, all of their housing. There are very few communities that have non-Hasidic residents, if it is determined to be a Hasidic community. In fact, you can tell, you look up at the telephone poles and you see a string delineating, this is our community. So they're very, very clear about what is important to them, and they have all of their needs met. How do you think that happened?
I don't know. Again, I am interested in reading your 7-part series because I remember you mentioning Crow Heights, and this I believe was before Hasidic Jews. So how did they get there? How do we get there? There's also there was Black Wall Street. I've only heard it mentioned, but that didn't last either. And I don't know how to answer that question,
but I believe...
Well, it's not
that it didn't last. It happened to be the first instance of the U.S. government bombing its own citizens. Aerial bombing. Mm. And that's how it was destroyed. But here's the thing. We're going to stay on theme, and the theme is, how do we fashion a political alternative to what we have now so that we get our needs met and that we have increased control meaningful control over all of the things that matter to our communities? That's the question. This is political power. They do not have, the Hasidic community, they don't have to go run for Congress, and they're not running for the city council, but Crown Heights, in the city council was to be given, and this was voted on in the city council. These are the exact words. All the rights and privileges of an emerging nation. Imagine that. That the area designated by the Hasidim as being their community was to enjoy a distinction and given all rights and privileges of an emerging nation. That's in the law. That's on the record. That's in the city council. In other words, they didn't even require, they didn't even ask whether they could control this piece of turf utterly and completely. They just took it. And they had the city council go along with them. All the rights and privileges of an emerging nation. So when this is what we're talking about as political power, this is how political power flexes its muscles. When people decide seriously that their ideas, their lives, their livelihoods, all these things matter and are supreme. They matter supremely. And so they get it done. You did not hear, there was no race run. There was no contest about this. There was no hearing about this. It was just done. Because that is how a community moves when it understands what it's got to do, what it wants, and how it could get it done. So we still have to go through. I appreciate the fact, Desiree, that you are in the stage of discovery about your own politics. What informs your politics? What will be your political self? And this is so admirable because, like anything else, it's all trial and error. It's about seeking out different things that make sense to you. But it is such a good thing that you are on a journey of discovery and accompanying that, a desire to do something, to be part of something that uplifts the community as a whole. You can't get better than that.
Well, I have a very good professor, so that's helping me out. I want to thank you so much. And I'll keep staying tuned. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Professor. That's great. Thanks a lot. From Washington, D.C., Paul, what do you have to say today?
Hi, Teresa.
And you have to make it kind of fast, I'm afraid.
Sure. Well, sure. I have two things that I'd like to contribute that I think would be solutions. One of them is controlling our education system, number one. And number two, also controlling our media. You know, Black people, for instance, barely own one television station, and I think only a handful of radio stations. We really have few means by which to communicate things among each other for our own benefit. If we have at least those two things, even something like we have on PRN with your show, where we're getting information that we would not hear in the mainstream, that alone is very powerful because our opinions are only shaped by the information that we have.
Correct. What do you see, though, as a mechanism for the group, a group effort, a movement, a party? Do they change what they're doing? Do they go through an auditing process? What do you think they should be doing now?
Well, I think people should be organizing, but they should be organizing based on the best knowledge that they have that is available. And part of that comes through some sort of system of education and some sort of means of common communication, that is collective media, media that we own. Based on things that I've listened to on your show alone, I've learned that there are different ways that we can reach out to one another, different topics that should be on the table that we would not otherwise hear.
Wow. Well, I thank you. And I invite you, because your time today was short, tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday, so you get a free pass to the top of the line when you call in tomorrow.
Well, thank so you very much.
To you and more to contribute. Flesh out your thoughts and ideas.
Thank you. I have more to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of our program today. And I'm so pleased with the vigorous response, because it means people are thinking, which is the whole point. Think. Do a lot of thinking, because we're going to need it. We need it so desperately. We are usually in fighting mode, so it's all reflex action. But we need deliberate thinking to inform our action. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. It's a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. And it is the weekend coming up, so you want to line up some positive people to hang out with. Tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday, and we'll continue talking to each other. Bye-bye.